The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. We are now in February, and I'm sure you all remember that February is Valentine's Day month, and that comes on the 14th day of this month. So be prepared the 14th day with all your Valentines for your friends at school, for your teacher, and for your mama and dad, and maybe grandma and whoever, grandpa, whoever else you have. So here we go with our first story, and it's going to be a Valentine's story. It's called Happy Valentine's Day, Little Critter, and it is by a man named Mercer Meyer. Today is Valentine's Day, and this is Little Critter speaking. Today is Valentine's Day, and I'm really excited because my class is having a big Valentine's Day party. First, we put up lots of decorations. I was in charge. And there we are with everyone putting up balloons and drawing pictures of hearts and two of his friends wrapping, getting all wrapped up when they put up the streamers. I had struck red hearts everywhere, and Tiger was hanging up the streamers, and he was making a big mess of it. But still, it looked great. And he wanted to know what the teachers thought. Don't the decorations look great, Miss Kitty? Miss Kitty was the teacher, and she was looking sort of worried about all those streamers up and down and all around Tiger's tail and his tummy and everything else. Then, in art class, we made special Valentine's Day mailboxes. Everyone hoped they'd get lots of Valentines. Ta-da! I had decorated my box with something special. Lots of little hearts of all colors and big hearts, two big hearts on the front that said, Little Critter. Each heart said little, and then the next one said critter. And that all over the top there were sparkly things, glitter, and little sparkly jewel-like things, and lots of glue, of course. And everyone else was making their special Valentine's box, too. At lunch, we had a special Valentine's surprise for dessert. Cupcakes! Yum! Gabby gave me one that said, Best Pals. Wasn't that nice of his friend Gabby? At recess, I worked on Valentine's for my family. I made an extra special one for my extra special Valentine's. Two little girl bunnies are poking around the tree, seeing if he had made a Valentine just for either of them, especially for them. But anyways, he didn't say who his special Valentine was for, or he hid it. After recess, we exchanged secret Cupids. Everyone gave a special Valentine. I wonder who my secret Cupid is. Oh, thank you, Bun Bun. She gave him, Little Critter, a big Valentine that said Super Critter. And it showed a picture of Little Critter dressed as Superman flying over the city. There it was, Super Critter. And everybody else got a Valentine from one person who had picked their name and got them either a little gift of candy or popcorn or hearts or a special Valentine. Then it was time to deliver our Valentine. I gave one to everybody, even to Miss Kitty, and she looked really happy. And guess what? I checked my mailbox to see if I got any Valentines. And I did. I got lots of Valentines. One from everyone. When I got home, I gave the extra special Valentine I had made to my extra special Valentine. Happy Valentine's Day, Mom. And he had made his special Valentine was his mom. Is your mom your very special Valentine? So that's the end of that story. That was a nice Valentine's Day party in class. If you're going to school, are you going to have a Valentine's Day party, do you think? You could ask your teacher and see what she says. So our next story is called, this is not a Valentine's Day story, this is called Milo's Hat Trick by John Agee. Here we go. Milo is a very tall, skinny man, but he was called Milo the Magnificent. He was a magician. But Milo wasn't magnificent at all. He botched his card trick. He tangled his rope trick, and his hat trick was just pathetic. It shows a picture of Milo on stage and the audience saying, boo, 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 someone ready to throw a rotten tomato at him, some people getting up and ready to leave the show. Mr. Popovich, the theater manager, was furious. Milo, he barked, I'll give you one more chance. Tomorrow night, you better pull a rabbit out of your hat, or else. So the next morning, Milo went out to catch a rabbit. And this picture shows him with a long pole and a carrot on a string tied at the top of the long pole. And he put his hat there, and Milo's hiding behind the tree with his carrot hanging over top of his hat, hoping to catch a rabbit is what he's doing. He's hoping the rabbit will grab that carrot and fall into the hat. Instead, he caught a bear. The bear ate that whole carrot. What are you doing out there? Said the bear. I'm looking for a rabbit for my hat trick, he said Milo. Hat trick, said the bear. Maybe I can help. You, said Milo. Watch this, said the bear. And what do you think happened? On the train back to the city, Milo was in a daze. It's true, he thought. I really do have a bear in my hat. But when he got to his dressing room, his hat was empty. Worse yet, it wasn't even his hat. Milo raced back to the train station. There were lots of people with hats, but no hat was his. He had hung it on a hook, and he had picked up the wrong hat he'd picked up the hat of the guy sitting next to him instead of his own. Meanwhile, in a restaurant across town, someone whistled for a waiter. Ta-da! Right on cue, the bear popped out of that hat. But there was no applause. There was no Milo. Uh-oh, said the bear. He grabbed Milo's hat and ran. He's in the middle of the street in a city. He doesn't know what to do. Help, cried a cab driver. A wild bear is on the loose. A bear? Where? Said a policeman. He was standing right by that mailbox. Then, poof, he disappeared. Oh, gosh, said the bear, how in the world will I ever find that magician? Just then, a school teacher was passing the mailbox. Hurry up, children, she said, or we'll be late for the magic show. Magic show, thought the bear. He slipped out of the mail slot and quickly joined the line. He was hiding down in the mailbox in the city, hoping no one would find him. But then he heard this teacher going by with her whole class. Minutes before the matinee, Milo slouched into the theater. It's no use, Mr. Popovich. I can't find a rabbit. Rabbit or no rabbit, you've got to go on, said Mr. Popovich. Just look, the house is packed. And there is a huge audience out there. Milo looked. A very familiar hat was sitting in the front row. Could it be Milo's hat, do you think? And my hat. Would you please hand me my hat? Milo said to the girl sitting beside the hat. Milo whistled, and out popped the bear. Boy, said the bear, am I glad to see you. For the rest of the afternoon, that bear jumped in and out of all the hats of all shapes and sizes. Milo's new act was a smash. Imagine that. Mr. Popovich, the theater manager, was ecstatic. For three solid weeks, Milo and the Bear were the hottest tickets in town. But one day, during intermission, the Bear yawned an enormous yawn. After popping out in and out of 762 hats, he was pooped. So Milo took the Bear home. Back in his cave, the Bear settled down for a long nap. "Gee," said Milo, "what am I going to do without you?" The Bear yawned. "Like I said before, you just..." And then the Bear was asleep. These days, Mike closes his show with a hat trick. And this one is very special. It's a secret he learned from the Bear. And it shows Milo jumping into his own hat and disappearing. Isn't that silly? But that's the end of that book. And now we have one more Valentine's book to read to you today. It is called Grumpy Monkey and the Valentine Gross Out. Maybe you've heard some other Grumpy Monkey stories. Well, this one is called Grumpy Monkey and the Valentine Day Gross Out. Jim Pansy was enjoying a nap in the sun when a voice awakened him. "Jim, do you like my flower?" tweeted Oxpecker. "My boyfriend gave it to me because we're in love." Jim Pansy is actually a monkey. And Oxpecker is a little bird. She's carrying a bird in her little feet. And her little flower and that's beautiful from her boyfriend. "Love," said Jim. "Gross. Don't be jealous. And also, my boyfriend is making me a romantic dinner for Valentine's Day," tweeted Oxpecker the bird. "Valentine's Day? What's that?" asked Jim. "It's a day for love," said Oxpecker, "full of hearts and sweets and flowers and romance. It's the loveliest, doviest, most wonderful holiday." "Yuck," said Jim. "It sounds to me more like the grossest holiday." Jim went to find his neighbor, Norman. "I bet Norman thinks Valentine's Day is as gross as I do," thought Jim, the chimpanzee, the monkey. But when he got to Norman's branch, Norman is a huge old gorilla, his neighbor was busy. "I'm making some love cards," said Norman. "Catch you later." Jim couldn't even believe it. Even Norman liked Valentine's Day. Here Norman is making hearts out of leaves and writing on it with a feather dipped in some berry juice. And it goes on here when I can get the page turned. Everywhere Jim went, there were couples being gross, couples exchanging cards. And there's two big old buzzards exchanging cards and two snakes all wrapped around each other, gazing into each other's eyes. Couples giggling for no reason, and there's two hyenas sitting together and giggling, and two turtles slow dancing. Turtles can't do fast dancing, can they? They can only slow dance. And cuddling couples, two big old bison, and snuggling couples, and there's two alligators, one their tails wrapped around each other and big smiles on their faces. And worst of all, kissing couples. Ooh, how gross. Two big old rhinos having a nice smooch, and two monkeys about the same kind as Jim is having a nice smooch with each other. Finally, Jim could not take it anymore. Ooh! Valentine's Day is the grossest holiday ever. It's true. All the kissing is pretty gross, said Norman. But Valentine's Day isn't just about couples. There are all kinds of love, said Norman, like the love you have for your parents. And there Norman hands a card up to his mom sitting in the tree. And the love parents feel for their children, said Jim's mom. And there, Jim's mom has him a beautiful yellow-colored flower. And the love you feel for your friends, said Norman, as he gave Jim a nice Valentine. Valentine's Day is about showing the people you love that you love them, said Jim's dad, and he gave his son a nice banana with a bow wrapped around it. Jim's arms were full of things that made him feel loved. It was a nice feeling that, believe it or not, he wanted to share. And so he made Valentines for all his friends and family. Again, he's making hearts out of leaves and then writing on them with a feather pen dipped in ink. Maybe Valentine's Day isn't so gross after all, he says as he's handing out all his Valentines to all the people he cares about and to his friends, the porcupine, the giraffe, and a little hummingbird, and a big old elephant, and a bison, and a coyote, and, oh, another monkey, and his mom and dad, and Norman, of course. There, oh, a turtle, and a snake, and a little frog there. All his friends. He's enjoying it so much. And he likes it. And then the two birds on top of the elephant's back start to kiss. And Jim says, gross! So he likes Valentine's Day to give Valentines to his friends, but he doesn't much like the kisses of Valentine's Day. So anyways, that's what Jim learned about Valentine's Day. It's gross only because there are the kisses, but giving out Valentines to your friends and family is really cool. And of course, getting Valentine's too is pretty cool. The next story is a very famous story, and it comes from Holland. Holland is where the windmills are, and if you have heard of it, there's dikes to keep the sea out. It's a very flat land. So here we go, The Little Hero of Holland, from Etta Austin Blydell and Mary Frances Blydell. Here is a true story of a very brave one, one willing to hold on as long as it takes to get the job done. Holland is a country where much of the land lies below sea level. Only great walls called dikes keep the North Sea from rushing in and flooding the land. For centuries, the people of Holland had worked to keep the walls strong so that their country will be safe and dry. Even the little children know the dikes must be watched every moment and that a hole no larger than your finger can be a very dangerous thing. Many years ago in Holland, there lived a boy named Peter. Peter's father was one of the men who tended to the gates in the dikes. These were called sluices. He opened and closed the sluices so that ships could pass out of Holland's canals into the great sea. One afternoon in early fall, when Peter was 8 years old, his mother called him from his play. "Come, Peter," she said. "I want you to go across the dike and take these cakes to your friend, the blind man. If you go quickly and do not stop to play, you will be home before dark." The little boy was glad to go on such an errand and started off happily. He stayed with the poor blind man a little while to tell him about his walk along the dike, about the sun and the flowers and the ships far out at sea. Then he remembered his mother's wish that he should return before dark, and bidding his friend goodbye, he set off for home. As he walked beside the canal, he noticed how the rains had swollen the waters and how they beat against the sides of the dike. "Uh-oh. I am glad they are so strong," he said to himself. "If they gave way, what would become of us? These pretty fields would be covered with water. These father always calls them the angry waters. I suppose he thinks they are angry at him for keeping them out so long." As he walked along, he stopped to pick the pretty bluebells that grew beside the road or to listen to the rabbit's soft tread as they rustled through the grass. But more often he smiled as he thought of his visit to the poor blind man who had so few pleasures and was always so glad to hear from him. Suddenly he noticed that the sun was setting and that it was growing dark. "Mother will be watching for me," he thought, and began to run towards home. Just then he heard a noise. It was the sound of trickling water. He stopped and looked down. There was a small hole in the dike through which a tiny stream was flowing. Any child in Holland is frightened at the thought of a leak in the dike. Peter understood the danger at once. If the water ran through a little hole, it would soon make a larger one, and the whole country would be flooded. In a moment, he saw what he must do. Throwing away his flowers, he climbed down the side of the dike and thrust his finger into the tiny hole. The flowing water was stopped. "Oh, ho," he said. "The angry waters must stay back now. I can keep them back with my finger. Holland shall not be drowned while I am here." Well, this was very well at first, but soon it grew dark and cold. The little fellow shuddered and screamed, come here," he called. But no one heard him. No one came to help. It grew still colder. His arm ached and began to grow stiff and numb. He shuddered again. "Will anyone here please come? Mother! Mother!" But his mother looked anxiously along the dike road many times since sunset for her little boy, and now she had closed and locked the cottage door, thinking that Peter was spending the night with his blind friend, and that she would scold him in the morning for staying away from home without her permission. Peter tried to whistle, but his teeth chattered with the cold. He thought of his brother and sister in their warm beds, and his mom and dad. "I must not let them be drowned," he thought. "I must stay here until someone comes, if I have to stay here all night." The moon and the stars looked down on the child crouching on a stone on the side of the dike. His head was bent, his eyes were closed, but he was not asleep, for every now and then he rubbed the hand that was holding back the angry sea. "I'll stand it somehow," he thought. So he stayed there all night, keeping the water out. Early in the next morning, a man going to work thought he heard a groan as he walked along the top of the dike. Looking over the edge, he saw a child clinging to the side of the great wall. "What's the matter?" he called. "Are you hurt?" "I'm keeping the water back," Peter yelled. "Tell them to come quickly." The alarm was spread. People came running with shovels, and soon the hole was all mended. They carried Peter home to his parents, and before long that whole town knew how Peter had saved their lives that night. To this day, they have never forgotten the brave little hero of Holland. And now we're going to move to a story called The Tortoise and the Hare that you might have heard before. It comes from a set of things called Aesop's Fables. These were from Greece, so they're very, very old stories. Anyways, a hare, which is a rabbit, and a tortoise, is, of course, a turtle. You all know that. A hare once made fun of a tortoise. "What a slow poke you are. How you creep along." "Do I?" said the tortoise. "Try and race with me, and I will beat you." "What a boaster you are," said the hare. "But come, I will race with you. Whom should we ask to mark off the finish line and see that the race is fair?" "Let us ask the fox," said the hare. "But come, I will race with you." The fox was very wise and very fair. He showed them where they were to start and how far they were to run. The tortoise lost no time. He started out at once and jogged straight on. The hare leaped along swiftly for a few minutes until he had left the tortoise far behind. He knew he could reach the mark very quickly, so he lay down by the road under a shady tree and took a nap. By and by he awoke and remembered the race. He sprang up and ran as fast as he could. When he reached the mark, the tortoise was already there. "Slow and steady wins the race," said the fox. And here is another of Aesop's fables, The Lion and the Mouse. One day a great lion lay asleep in the sunshine. A little mouse ran across his paw and wakened him. The great lion was just going to eat him up when the little mouse cried, "Oh, please let me go, sir." The lion laughed at the thought that someday I may be able to help you. The lion laughed at the thought that the little mouse could be of any use to him. But he was a good-natured lion, and he set the mouse free. Not long after, the lion was caught in a net. He tugged and he pulled with all his might, but the ropes were way too tight and too strong. And then he roared loudly. The little mouse heard him and ran to the spot. "Be still, dear lion, and I will set you free. I will gnaw the ropes." So with his sharp little teeth, that mouse worked and worked and cut those thick ropes, and the lion got out of the net safely. "You laughed at me once," said the mouse. "You thought I was too little to do you any good. But see, you owe your life to me, a poor little mouse." And that's another of Aesop's fables. Fables are stories that tell you something, that teach you a lesson, that this being the strongest is not always the bravest or the most possible to do brave things. And like with the tortoise and the hare, it's so that slow and steady, even if you're not the quickest, can sometimes win the race. And here is another of Aesop's fables, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. There was once a shepherd boy who kept his flock of sheep at a little distance from the village. Once he thought he would play a trick on the villagers and have some fun at their expense. So he ran toward the village, crying out with all his might, "Wolf! Wolf! Come and help! The wolves are eating the lambs!" The kind villagers left their work and ran to the field to help him. But when they got there, the boy laughed at them, and because there was no wolf there, of course. Still another day, the boy tried the same trick, and the villagers came running to help once again, and once again the boy laughed at them loudly. Then one day, a wolf did break into the fold where the sheep were, and began killing all the lambs. In great fright, the boy ran back to the village. "Wolf, wolf," he screamed, "there is a wolf in the flock. Help, help." The villagers heard him, but they thought it was another mean trick. No one paid the least attention or went near to him, and the shepherd boy lost all of his lambs. That is the kind of thing that happens to people who lie. Even when they do tell the truth, they will not be believed. And that's the lesson we learn from that fable. And now we have time for a please and thank you book from the please and thank you book called Bears Always Share. Bears share their toys. Bears share their honey. Bears share a joke. They think it is funny. Whatever they do, whatever they wear, they share it with another bear. And watch out for Wanda Warthog. When Warthog comes over, beware. She leaves a trail everywhere. There's ink on the sofa, gum on the cat, modeling clay ground into the mat. Her dirty fingerprints streak the wall. She's broken her best friend's favorite doll. Oops, there goes her dish of raspberry ice. And that's why poor Wanda is never asked twice. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.